choir boys there. I don't know exactly what church they belong to. I don't know if I'd want to be a member of it. I don't think they'd exemplify a holy life. Let's just put it that way. I'm very keen to get your thoughts on this. 133693. There's a number of big, high-profile and ongoing pay disputes at the moment. The Victorian Public Service is floating the idea of a hefty pay rise and a four-day week. We see Victoria Police threatening go slow, or they might actually go ahead with the go slow on Sunday, as they attempt to wrangle a pay rise out of the state government. There seems to be a bit of brinkmanship going on there, and that is certainly echoed by the experience of Australia's netballers, who are currently arguing with the sports governing body about a, I think, a revenue-sharing agreement and a pay rise, to the point where the Diamonds, the netballers who represent Australia at the highest level, wanted to boycott the annual awards dinner for the sport, but were informed, and this is according to an Instagram post by Liz Ellis, a great of the game, were informed that they had to attend. So these things can get nasty. And I want to know if you've been part of one or currently are part of one. 133693. There's always two sides to the story, of course, as there is in any dispute. But I want to know if you've been part of, let's say, a collective pay dispute. How did it go? Did you fold? Did you get what you wanted? Do you think you were dudded? 133693. And I also want to know, and you don't have to mention the employer, and this is certainly not a reflection of my employer, let me tell you. Tight-fisted employers, have you had one? Do you have one? Let's be anonymous on that one, please. 133693. Nicole Davidson is a negotiation specialist from Nicole Davidson Negotiations. Good afternoon, Nicole.
Good afternoon, Tony. Pleasure to chat with you.
Well, you too. I mentioned three there, and in none of these cases do these demands come out of nowhere. My understanding is they're scheduled. The governing body, or the whoever's organising or represents the labour, says to management, "We're going to meet and we want a pay rise," and then it begins in earnest. I'm not sure if you've seen either of or any of the examples I've been talking about, but what is the best way of negotiating a pay rise for a group of people in your experience?
Well, it's interesting, and I've had a look a little bit at the police negotiations and the netball negotiations, and I think the challenging thing with those is it's very difficult in those government situations or things like netball to prove the value that you're adding for the extra money that you want to get paid. And a lot of people come into these negotiations from the, I need more money because my costs have gone up,
yep,
which is completely reasonable. But if you're trying to get money out of someone whose costs have also gone up, they're thinking about, well, what's in it for me?
Okay. Would that explain, let's say, in the case of the state government, why it is prepared to go right to the edge and even, I mean, by its actions, permit the Victoria Police to industrial action?
Mm. Well, I think the interesting thing here is you've got a different layer of interest rather than just financial as well, which is the political interest. And there's this sort of ongoing thing between unions and governments about, you know, who's going to push who around the most. So I think there's a lot of political gaming around those negotiations. It's, you know, more to do with that than anything about what people should be paid or what is a reasonable amount for Victorian government taxpayers to be funding.
Okay. I should point out, Vic Poll have assured the public the frontline policing services would continue to be provided when industrial action starts on Sunday. Is that a sign of weakness, though, if the police union or association has to resort to industrial action? Is it admitting that its hand isn't as strong as it might have been?
Look, it could be seen as that, and it could also be the government making sure that their political position on this is protected, because if they start reducing basic services to the community is going to put a lot of pressure on them to actually cave into the union demands. if the community feels safe, they might be sitting there looking at it more from a, I'm a taxpayer, I want to manage the costs of the government so that they can do more.
Yep, okay. So what is the art of negotiation? It is is it compromised by both sides?
Look, I think that where there are limited resources, there is going to have to be compromise on both sides. But yep. I think the biggest problem is that most of the time people are too busy telling you what they need and not listening to what you need. And in an ideal negotiation, you're actually trying to work together for something that is helpful for both of you.
Okay. Is it also like a question of too many stakeholders?
Look, I think in these ones it is complex because, you know, the unions might have very different interests to what the actual police officers have as
well. Yeah, that's a great point.
They've got an interest in actually showing that they're making a difference. And, you know, if they actually agreed to something quickly and easily, that wouldn't get any coverage, which doesn't actually encourage union membership, yeah. If I'm going to be really cynical.
Yeah, true. Is there a danger that, let's say, the public servants who are, as I said, they are talking about a four-day work week and a pay rise, the netballers, as I said, want a greater share of the money pot, the police want, I think, a pay rise. Is there a danger in any of the three who are petitioning their employers that they might overplay their hands?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, one of the interesting things that I noticed in some of the articles about the netballers is that the Netball Association or Netball Australia was saying that actually if they gave the netballers what they wanted, it's actually greater than the amount of revenue that they forecast to come in.
Ah.
So, you know, I think that's one of the issues in some of these is the transparency. You know, do we actually, is one side showing their hand to the other so that they know what the reality is?
I'm keen to know, too, in terms of public relations, who comes out best out of prolonged and sometimes bitter pay negotiations? Do we see the employer as being tight-fisted and the employees as wanting a fair shake, or do we see the employees as overreaching and the employers as being ones, let's say, financially constrained because times are tough?
Yeah, look, it's a great question. And I think the problem is it's not always one way. And that's why I think, you know, that example of the government, you know, confirming that we're going to have our basic services is them protecting themselves from being seen as the tight-fisted, nasty people. So, you know, and the problem is you're always going to have one camp that sides with each side of the argument as well. So some people will see it as the employees are being the problem and half the population will see it that the employer is. So it's one of those things. I think you can never please all of the people.
Jeez, so well said. Nicole Davidson, you're involved in tense negotiations with my producer, Bianca. In the end, you blinked and you agreed to an interview and I'm very glad you did.
It's been a pleasure, Tony.
Nicole Davidson there, negotiation specialist from Nicole Davidson Negotiations. Pay disputes, have you been a part of one? How do you think either the netballers, the public servants or the police, how do you think those pay disputes will play out? 133693. And do you have a particularly, and I'm not saying that netball or the state government or whoever else is tight-fisted, but when it comes to loosening the purse strings, do you have an employer who is particularly reluctant to do so?